The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. You are tuning in to We the People Radio. Yet another exciting episode. It's less exciting today, though, because our guest is in the studio, so we don't have any of that usual phone fun that I know you all look forward to. So let's see. I'm Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
And we're here with our guest.
I'm Patrick Jones. Thank you.
See, you have to know what everybody's voice sounds like. People are like, why do you guys do it like that? Oh, well, otherwise you wouldn't know who's who. So let's see. We're talking about guns today, which is good, except when you live in California and we're talking about guns, the reason we're talking about them is because they're sort of fading out as a distant memory.
Yeah, there's something
in
of
a
the
time
past.
When we had the Second Amendment and we used to be able to possess firearms, and I don't know.
You can still get a BB gun.
Not for long.
Well, that's
Red
true.
Riders on the black bolt.
If it holds more than one BB,
he's probably got
a
bullet
button. He's
probably got a bullet button.
Well, this is the kinds of things that we've warned about for the last 20 years in California, and it's now starting to be quite noticeable. And so we've got a lot of Senate bills and Assembly bills coming up. This year is an electric year because it's a presidential year where folks are most likely going to be turning out in higher than normal numbers to vote. And so we have a lot of bills with a lot of significance. And all of these new laws are designed to affect law-abiding gun ownership. That's what they do. They will not, and we can prove that they will not change criminal behavior at all. They never have. They never will. And they're directed right at stripping you, the law-abiding citizen, of your gun rights. So very destructive, and people shouldn't be tolerating it. We're right in the middle of a battle. We're losing the battle here in California about gun rights. The Constitution is being trampled on, and we're not doing anything about it.
Well, and at the end of the day, we air Sundays from noon to 2 here in Northern California on KCNR 1460 AM, and then Saturdays from 2:30 to 4. The show replays commercial-free out on the Conservative Commandos radio network at WNJC 1360. So we have folks in Philadelphia and New Jersey who will be listening to this show. And, we have folks who tune in.
It gives them something to look forward to. Because
exactly.
As goes California.
Right.
I don't know how much longer that's going to be.
And then all
true.
Those people online that listen, and they're thinking, I know at the beginning here, people are thinking, oh, they're going to talk about the disaster they've made for themselves in California. It's like, you should probably wise up because it's coming for you next.
Well, and we can talk a little bit throughout the show about how it's got to this point. How did we let it happen? And, when you look back 15 to 20 years ago and you start seeing the groundwork being laid for things to come, and each year as more legislation is passed and more laws are introduced and they become effective, they have calming techniques, they have all kinds of tools to keep the public calm through the process.
What's a calming technique?
A calming technique. So when you pass a bill, you don't make it go effective January 1st of that year. You make it go effective in, say, 2 years. And people say, well, I can get this or that in that time period, so it'll be okay. I'll get what I need. Well, sure, but your children and
you grandchildren. You mean like you can get the specific type of firearm they're
correct.
Looking at banning?
Well, plus it stops the whole panic and rush and
correct.
Instant.
Well, it also leads people to believe they might be able to turn it back before it goes into effect.
Well,
actually a pretty smart tactic.
Yeah, and so they do things like that, and it creeps up on you. In California today, we're under attack. They're trying to do the old split, divide and conquer. And today, what they're looking at is a new term, and we've used all kinds of terms in California, but the new term is unsafe, deeming something unsafe, and that you can't possess it any longer.
And what else do we call it? What kind of?
Well, it's just a new term. We've had terms like Saturday night specials and assault weapons negative connotations. But now we have a new term, unsafe. You are unsafe. One of the bills that's being talked about. And, in fact, I think Gavin Newsom has even got the signatures now, and I think the California voters will be voting on this come this November, is the ban on any magazine, a detachable magazine of any caliber, that holds more than 10 rounds, you will no longer be able to possess, even though you've owned them for maybe your entire life, and maybe that's the only magazine that fits and feeds your firearm. You cannot possess them. You must turn them in. It is unsafe for you to own. Now, this is a huge test case where we're certain it'll be litigated and it'll go before the state Supreme Court. But the reality is, what it does is it tests the waters to see if the state can take something from you. They say they will reimburse you at a government code offer, of course, but that's not the point.
Yeah, I was going to ask, if I've got to go turn in, you know, half a dozen magazines, are they going to pay me for those? Because I had to pay money for them.
You did, but they will pay you what they're currently worth today, and because outside of California, they're still being made and manufactured, and there's no real restrictions on them outside of California in most cases, they have low value. They have great value in California because they've been banned for purchase here since 2000. So for those of us that have them prior to 2000, we covet those. We hang on to those. They have to last us the rest of our life. They're very valuable to us. And they're not for sale at any price. And we're not going to turn them in. We're not going to move out of state. They're simply going to make us criminals. And that's a felony. A felony.
What are the odds that people actually just go down there? And how has this worked elsewhere?
Well, again, this is fairly new. Confiscation, you'd have to go back to maybe Germany in the 1930s.
Right.
And people usually will fall in line. And here's why, because it is a felony if you're caught in possession, and it's pretty slam dunk. I mean, if you've got it in your hands and an officer, any enforcement officer sees that you have, it's illegal, you're in possession of it, doesn't matter whose it is, you're in possession, it's contraband, and you will have your day in court. And it's a slam dunk felony, and so that's pretty easy.
If you've got it, you're
if you possess it, and it holds more than 10 rounds. It could be 11 round magazines. Smith & Wesson has done a factory 11 round magazines. That will be a felony to possess that magazine.
And then that opens up the whole no longer able to own a firearm.
Well, then you get to the next step. If the state, and if it's deemed lawful that you cannot possess, that it's unsafe for you to possess a magazine greater than 10 rounds, then the state will have the ability to say other things are unsafe for you and you must turn in, say, the rifle or the handgun that feeds such. And that's where it's leading to. You start somewhere. This is where they start. This is a take back. This is a confiscation. You can't own this magazine any longer, even though they're mine and I've owned them for most of my life. And so it puts a lot of gun owners here in California at risk. And these are law-abiding owners. These are law-abiding people that have had these in their possession for a long time, and it puts them in a very bad position. And for a lot of us, we feel very strongly about it. And this is our product. This is our stuff. These are ours, and it's an integral part to the firearm. It's the heart of the feeding device for these types of guns. And when you ban that, you, in essence, ban the gun. And there are some guns where there is no other magazine for it.
Right,
and so in essence, you're banning certain guns,
and you can't just leave them in your safe or something like that. I mean, you're not allowed to.
Well,
actually,
you could, but it's still against the law. And if they catch you in possession, whatever way that
may
be,
felony.
It's a felony. Now you lose all your firearm rights, and you could go to prison.
Now there's different class. I know you're not an attorney or anything, but I think you know the answer.
You play one on TV though, right?
Yeah, he does. there's different classes of felonies. So if you're caught with a illegal magazine, is that felony strong enough to take away your firearms?
Yes, it is.
It is.
Yes.
And for how long?
So any rest of your life.
So you want to take that chance is what they're saying.
Right. Now, it is true that in this state, if you're convicted of a nonviolent felony and after you've served your time and your probation and all that is done, you can seek out an attorney. And in some cases, people get their firearm rights restored. It's difficult and time-consuming and costly. And I do have some customers that has happened. And they can even purchase firearms even still. But it's a costly, time-consuming thing. In general, when you're convicted of a felony in the state of California, you're done from buying ammunition and firearms. And that's all types of firearms. That's antiques. That's muzzleloaders. That's modern firearms for the rest of your life. It's a big deal. And the possession of just a magazine that holds 11 rounds now will get you to that point. And what a sad day it is for Californians. In this will be voted upon. And unfortunately, most of the voters in California are ignorant when it comes to the ramifications of what this means. They're going to describe it as the Safe Ammunition Act, or they'll have some catchy term, and they'll have a whole bunch of prominent people that will put their names behind it. And the vast majority of Californians will say, what do you need? I always love it when they say, what do you need a magazine greater than 10 rounds for? And that's not the point, because this is a step to the next step. Mm-hmm. And if you let them take this step, they will absolutely take the next step. These people are staunch anti-gunners. They don't believe in the Constitution. If they did, then you have the individual right to keep and bear arms, and it shall not be infringed. And they have infringed upon it now in California grossly for 30 years, and we're way down that track now. Soon, it will be time for people to act. It's what the Second Amendment was all about, is that if your government becomes tyrannical, the people have power with firearms. And they understand that in Sacramento. These are not stupid people. They're very liberal, and I dislike them greatly. But they understand about power and what the Second Amendment means, and stripping law-abiding people of those rights. It's super important to them.
Yeah, and they've not passed a lot of laws because of that as well.
Well,
there's been laws that haven't really gotten through the process, because even the left has found them to be a little bit too infringing.
It's true. You're probably right that more have failed than have passed. That is probably mm-hmm. true. The problem is
some of them were like extra crazy with little extra crazy on top. We need to take a really quick break. And there's plenty more where this came from. This will go on the whole time. That's dog scratching, just in case you wonder. But that was nobody's actually being bludgeoned. They've taken away our firearms. We're bludgeoning now. That'll be the next thing we have to give up, is our bludgeoning. Oh, my gosh. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
These days I go down to Walmart and they sell them in the back. Some people want to take them away. Why don't you go bust them boys that sell a track? Guns, whether Remingtons or Crocs. Come on, man, it ain't like I'm a slinging them. Listen, son, as long as I'm alive and breathing, you won't take my guns.
It's pretty clear. So what kind of percentage are we talking about that will take that route?
For their magazines?
Yeah, that they're just not going to comply. What do you think?
Well, first, for people that have high-capacity magazine, and a high-capacity detachable magazine is anything that holds more than 10 rounds, and so it could be an 11-rounder, a 13, a 15, a 20, a 30, whatever. And for a lot of us, we've legally owned these. We've purchased these prior to 2000, and for many guns, a high-capacity magazine is the only thing that fits them. Other guns, not necessarily the case. We've learned from past experience in California, from other bans, assault weapon bans mainly, that most people, they're not going to stand in line and turn these magazines into the government. And the government knows that. They don't really care. And they know they won't have to have stacks of cash to buy these magazines because, one, the government code officer offer will be very low. And two, they know people won't want to turn them in. I believe most people, if they're smart, they'll move them out of state so that they may still have access to them out of state. But I think the last thing you ought to do is turn them into a tyrannical government. In fact, if that's what they want, that is what they want, that is what you should not do, and there's probably good reason to do just that. For some guns, a 10-round magazine, you know, will have to work for now. It's sad that we will have to accept that we have to accept the government telling us that a 10-round magazine is appropriate, because, like New York, now it's 7 rounds, and pretty soon it's 5 rounds. And
well, I was just going to say that.
I was going to ask you where else this was happening.
No, it's going to go down to 5 rounds.
Right. Pretty soon, you can't have a detachable magazine is where it's headed. And it's unsafe for you to have any type of gun that has a detachable magazine, because you could do something very bad with it, as Governor Schwarzenegger used to say. And don't want you to do something bad now, could we? Couldn't happen.
No.
So, you know, it's a bad thing that's happening, then you're going to get a vote on this. But unfortunately, for up here in Northern California, where that won't pass here, it will pass in the Bay Area and Southern California. Most people will say again, what do you need a large magazine for? And it isn't about that. What do you need, you know, for those people, why do you need a 5,000 square foot house? Why do you need a car that has 500 horsepower? Well, because we're Americans and we're free and we buy and we do what we want to do.
Yeah.
We don't need the government to tell us every aspect of our
lives.
Well,
besides that, the pretense of all this is that it helps with crime. I mean, that's the total false premise, because no criminals, zero criminals, are turning these in.
It's an absolute lie, and unfortunately, the vast majority of voters believe that they do these things and that it'll make somehow crime less, and that's a lie. It's just simply a lie. And in fact, what states have the most laws, they have the highest crime.
Sure.
It's just the opposite, because what you're doing is you're taking rights and freedoms away from law-abiding citizens, and the criminal doesn't care. For a murderer that shoots people and does drive-bys and things like that, he doesn't give a rip about any law that's ever been passed. He doesn't care, and he's not going to comply. And then we're letting people out of prison. And we book and release in this town like it's going out of style. Mm-hmm. So there are solutions to criminal behavior, and there are solutions to crime. And all these things that we're doing in Sacramento aren't addressing that. They're addressing control of law-abiding public. The public should be outraged and furious. These people are literally, in my opinion, are committing crimes against the state. And they are enemies of the state. That they are violation of the Constitution, our basic rights. And we're in the middle of that battle right now. I had a gentleman the other day. He had a few guns stolen last year, and he reported them all stolen, and reported them properly. And it was pretty devastating, because he had a lot of value there, and guns were among some of the things stolen. One gun was recovered recently, and they said they wouldn't give it back to him because he can't prove ownership. Yet he bought it from a dealer new in the 1970s. Of course, there's no record of it.
Sure,
and so. He said, well, but I bought it new. How do I, you know, is there such a law that I have to show ownership? Well, there's penal codes now. There are laws now that say, yes, to get a gun back, that your own gun that's stolen, you have to prove that you own it. So you have to fill this thing out and send it to the state, California Department of Justice, and give them another $25. And then, of course, so he does that. And 4 months later, he still hasn't heard anything. He can't talk to a real person down there. Meanwhile, the department that has the gun says, you know, we only get to keep these things for 180 days and we'll sell it on you. I mean, and that's what we've let government
criminal.
Do, you know, on our own
property. And those
property.
Laws passed quietly, and nobody screamed too much because it didn't affect them.
Right. It's minor. It should be okay that you must prove ownership. I mean, it's just garbage, and it's happening so much. Sacramento is out of control. The insanity has gone on way too long. They're passing 1,000 laws a year. You can't sit down and read the text of 1,000 bills in an 8-hour day in the course of a year. You can't even read what it is that they're passing. And they've been at it now for 20 years. And so now here we are with the gun stuff. And in this particular case, in this year, we've got not only assembly bills coming, we've got Senate bills coming. One or two aren't passing, but the majority of them are. We're going to see probably about 25 of them land up on the governor's desk. There is some curiosity as to whether the governor is going to veto some of these like he did in 2013. I believe he might veto a couple, but I really seriously doubt he'll veto much of substance. And the reason why is because in 13 he was looking to get reelected, and he was trying to make sure that he had as much votes as possible with some of the gun groups. And so he vetoed a couple of them. He's not up for reelection today. And
But even if he doesn't veto them, we still get to vote on them.
No. Most of these, only three or four, I believe, Gavin Newsom has gathered enough signatures, is putting them on the November ballot. So the ammo registration, the ammo background check, and the magazine capacity thing, you're going to get a vote on that. The rest of this is your elected officials voting on your behalf.
Now, how do they get to do that? What's the difference? What determines a law that is just signed into law versus one that we have to vote on?
Well, it's difficult. You know, you've got to get, you know, I think Gavin Newsom got 300,000 to 400,000 signatures to get these things on the ballot. But again, this state is so liberal that we wouldn't stand a better chance even letting the public vote on them, because they're unaware
right.
of the consequences.
But at least it goes through the process. I guess that's what I'm saying. We need to have that right to vote on this. Anytime you have the government creating a law and then just signing it into effect.
That's the majority of laws. Very few actually make it on the ballot. And that's why we have this system. If we had fair representation,
right, then we would have.
Then it wouldn't be so much of a problem. Mm-hmm. But today we have no voice. In Sacramento, we have it's right down party lines. And so we have absolutely no ability to stop what's happening. And in fact, the state is close to the supermajority, which will turn remarkably worse when it happens.
You know, you talked about...
we can't count on them all being indicted again like we did last time.
No. But you talked about 1,000 laws. I recently heard a campaign ad, which just made me cringe.
So funny. I was thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah,
you read my mind?
I think so.
Freaking me out.
I'm sharing a little space there.
Okay, go ahead. I think you're reading my mind.
Basically, the ad said that one of our current representatives has not sponsored or passed a single law the entire time he's been in office, and we need somebody that can get in there and knows how to write new laws and get these laws on the books.
To be a conservative.
This is an indictment against this guy.
I
want somebody who's in office who isn't writing laws, who maybe is going to try to get rid of some laws.
Sure.
Because I think I heard that during the course of the day, pretty much every citizen in this country, without even knowing it, breaks at least 10 laws. There's too many laws out there.
Absolutely.
And a lot of them are stupid, and a lot of them contradict each other.
Yeah. I mean, I broke a law walking in the door this morning.
Jaywalker.
You know, with regards to this ammunition law that's coming up in November that you'll get a vote on, before you can buy ammunition in the state of California, you'll have to pass a background check and get a certificate. And you can't even give a person, say your spouse, 50 rounds of ammunition in the course of 1 month.
Now, this is a law that we're voting on?
That's what you're going to vote on. And then the state is going to be registering that ammo so they'll know what you buy, and also subject to limitations. So for some of people that buy more ammunition, say tournament shooters, be it in handgun or shotgun, or avid varmint shooters where you go through a lot of rounds, those numbers are going to be particularly alarming to the state, and they're going to say that's excessive and you can't buy that. And so again, if we allow the control, they'll certainly take it. And you know what I could tell most other folks, if even if they're not particularly into the Second Amendment, they should be. Everything else is contingent upon it, but in this area, as we destroy this area and destroy these rights, They'll do it to the other areas as well.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Well, look at free speech. You know, now we have free speech zones. So you're seeing it everywhere. The overreach is everywhere.
Right.
And if we can't defend ourselves from the government, which was the original intent of the Second Amendment.
Let's talk. We got to take a break.
Yeah.
When we come back, I want to talk about that ammo law a little bit more. I want to get into it a little bit deeper and get some explanations.
I just looked at the list. It's a really big list.
Well, ammo and
I'm gonna post it.
Yeah, it's a sizable list this year. And you know, some are in different categories. Some are in suspense. Some are moving forward. But those suspense ones, don't be fooled by that.
They'll lurk there.
They'll be there in the last hour.
They're coming back. Absolutely. So they're passed.
And then they'll take some bill that's already something else, and then gut and amend it, and
right.
then Pa-ching! Here we go. Alrighty. You can find all that fun information at wethepeopleradio.us. Be right back.
To the town of our free, who rode a stranger one fine day. Hardly spoke to folks around him, didn't have too much to say. No one dared to ask his business, no one dared to make a slip. The stranger there among them had a big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. It was early in the morning when he rode into the town. He came riding from the south side, slowly looking all around. He's an outlaw, loose and running, came the whisper from each lip. And he's here to do some business with a big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
You better buy a gun or start drinking.
Boy, there was a time.
Yeah. We're here with Patrick Jones from Jones Fort here in Reading. Family-run operation.
Give us a little, let's have a little advertisement.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you.
Let's have a little promotion.
Well, I, you know, Jones Fort now been in existence for 55 years, and a single shop, a little 2x4 shop, as my dad used to say, and started in Los Angeles in 1962, and then we came up to Reading in 1969. And me and my brothers and my sisters, we've grown up in the store. Me and my brother.
Literally.
And my sister were still there, and so we're still selling firearms. So we've seen and we've been selling firearms in California this entire time, and we've seen all that's happened over this length of time period. And, you know, today I'm sad. Just inside I'm sad. I've always been a very upbeat and optimistic person, but the stuff that we're seeing out of California today is just stripping people of freedom. And if you don't have freedom, what do you really have? And you don't have much. And so it's hard to be a good, God-loving, free person in California when you see what they're doing. And, you know, for me, firearms is my life. It's what I do. It's what I do as a living. It's what I do for fun. It's so much of everything about me. And my way of life essentially is ending in the state of California. And for a lot of other people, they have now taken a serious look at leaving and have done so. I've probably lost half of my long-term customers, and they have moved to every other state that you can imagine.
The really bad part is, I get it. I get the idea, and I wasn't born here, so, I mean, I could go somewhere else that wouldn't, you know, kill me. But it's got to have some kind of realization at some point that you can move, and that's real nice, but if you don't stay here and fight, it's coming there.
Well, and I like the guys from Siskiyou County. I always like their attitude up there.
I do too.
You know, this is our land. Grandfather was born here. Father was born here. I was born here. And this is our dirt, and we ain't leaving. And we're going to fight, and we're going to fight for freedom. And that's the kind of mentality that we must have today, because these guys in Sacramento, they will strip you of every freedom that you have, and they will take your firearms, and they're doing so today. And if we allow them, you know, and we're all open, you know, most of us, we're very open to sensible things. We're pretty common sense. We want guns out of the hands of criminals. We want criminals to be charged when in possession of firearms when they do illegal acts, and we're all very open to that. But they've gone so far the other way, and they are directly attacking and calling anybody that has a gun a criminal. And there is a big difference between law-abiding people and criminals. And they're making no distinction between these two.
No.
And there's a big, big difference. We work hard. We pay our taxes. We're responsible people. It's the kind of people you want in any state. And yet we're under attack here in California. And the ammo bill is just a great example of if you go down that path and open up that door, it will lead. It will definitely lead to something that you're not and you haven't thought of or expected. Right now they're talking about making sure that you have a background check before you buy ammo. Well, that seems kind of sensible. You know, you make sure you have a good background.
Even though you have to have a background check to own a gun.
Correct.
Now you got to have one to buy the ammo as well. That's stupid.
It's very stupid. But again, as an average person might think, you know, background check for buying ammo, that's okay. It's no big deal. And then, of course, when you buy your ammunition, the state, you know, the state should know what you have. They should know what you buy. The problem is that information, do you think it's going to help you? Do you think that having, you know, the ammunition from a law-abiding person, what right is it of the state to know what a law-abiding person, how much or what kind of ammo they buy? That is not their right.
Well, what's going to follow that is how much do you have?
Correct.
Well, then you can only have so much and because they're talking, I literally have not read the list because it's way too long.
It's a big one.
I cut and paste off the Gun Owners of California website,
yes,
onto a Word document just so I could make sure all the stuff was right before I put it on here a second ago. Yeah, 13 pages.
Yeah.
13 pages.
I want to get back into this ammo law because it's...
That's the very first one, by the way.
Yeah, it's really probably the most egregious of all of them because without the ammo, the guns are worthless.
Now, what's going to happen is most people, they're not going to get an ammo permit. They're not going to do that.
Are you going to buy ammo?
They're not going to buy ammo in California. They're not going to let the government know what they buy. They're not going to do it. It's an infringement on their rights. It's unconstitutional, and they're not going to do it, and the state's not going to force them to do it. What they will do is they will buy their ammunition out of state.
Sure, but that'll just be one more thing when you go online and want to buy ammo. The little flag comes up,
right?
Cannot ship to California.
Well, they've already said it has to be a face-to-face transaction, so no more internet or any of that. It has to be a face-to-face transaction for ammo.
Nice.
So, again, this is your government working for you. So you'll go out of state.
So I can't even give a guy my permit number in Sacramento and have him ship me ammo.
Correct. It has to be a face-to-face transaction. And so you'll go out of state. Now, that hurts dealers. Essentially,
sure,
we probably won't need to stock ammo because you won't be buying it here and be selling very little. Now, that hurts most dealers, 20-30% of our business. That's what it's really intended to do.
Sure.
It's a great burden on you, infringement on your rights. And then dealers suffer because we don't get to sell ammunition any longer. And so that hurts the business as well. And then when you start taking a look at some of these other assembly bills and Senate bills, they're going to be banning the bullet button, which essentially no longer able to sell AR-15s. We're not going to be able to sell Mini-14s and some of these other guns. We're also going to be limiting you, instead of one new handgun a month, one gun a month. And here we go. And I told people before, you know, when you start saying one new handgun, they're going to come back in a couple
sure.
of years.
Here's the amendment.
And here it is. Now it's one gun. And that's even for a private party. So let's say you go to a California deer banquet and you're lucky enough to win three guns in one night. Great night for you. You participated. You helped a hunter conservation organization.
Right.
You won three guns. It's going to take 4 months and three background checks, $75 paid to the government.
And tell us where
three.
That money's going again, because you told us that during the break.
Yeah, so earlier, you know, we were talking about the $25 that the state of California charges for the background check. It costs $9 to do a background check. So starting somewhere around, we think, 2004 or 5, they were illegally and under closed doors, behind closed doors, slicing off this money and putting it into a special hidden account.
Now, when you say it costs $9, that's the federal fee, and then the state adds on the difference. And
no, we're saying if you have background check done here in Redding, California, for most things that need a background check, it costs $9, not $25. And it's the same background check that you would need to buy a firearm.
But you have to collect and remit $25.
They take from our machine $25 every time we hit send. Extracts $25.
That's the state?
That's the state of California.
Okay.
Specific California
so
Department
of Justice. So
they
got a little $16 tip built in.
So correct.
If
but they hid it from the government. They hid it from everybody. Now, that's conspiracy, and it's also overcharging, and so it's illegal on multiple counts. And then in 2012, they went to the legislature and asked them to pass special emergency legislation so that they could use this money and hire 200 field agents to come knock on your door, which they've done in Redding, and they did. And the legislature in California said, sure, we'll let you break these laws. You hid this money, but hey, we're glad that you got $50 million here in this special hidden account. So we're going to let you use that now. Instead of giving it back to the people that you stole it from, we're going to let you use it and hire more enforcement officers.
So these agents do what?
They knock on your door. When you've failed a background check, the department typically believes that you or assumes you may have a firearm, and you're often a subject of a knock on the door. They have no search warrants.
Are federal agents?
These
or
are state, California DOJ. In fact, I asked our Sheriff Tom Bazinko, I got six or seven calls one day, it was a couple days, and people said, hey, these guys in white shirts are knocking on the doors, and they say they're DOJ. Do I have to let them in? I said, do they have a search warrant? No, then you don't have to let them in. You don't have to talk to them. I talked to our Sheriff Tom Bazinko, and he said, I'm unaware that they're here. He checked. He called me back, and he said, yes, they're here, and they are knocking on people's doors. And I said, wouldn't they call you and let you know that they're doing that? He said, well, we ask them to, but they don't.
And what are they knocking on? What are they looking for? They're
doing so much cross-referencing now. So when a person buys a firearm, it goes to that data goes to Sacramento. And then it's plugged into the massive computers, and they start doing searches, various names, anybody with that name, anybody with that name and date of birth.
It's a little bit like the no-fly list.
And then cross-referencing your address. Is there anybody else that has that address, that lives at that location, that has a prohibited background? And a whole bunch of other things, too. Do you have are you a veteran, and have you been issued mood-altering drugs? And they cross-reference that, and they just cross-reference. And they can put even a delay or a denial on your purchase depending on the outcome of what they've found. Some cases they're correct. Some cases they're not. Some people that they knocked on, I have a great story here in Reading, they came knocking on a gentleman's door who had worked in law enforcement for 35 years. Same name, wrong guy. It took him 2 hours to get them to leave, and it shook him up pretty good. And I told him, I said, hey, this is what's happening. You know, it's been happening. But I said, I'm kind of glad it happened to you so you could see what we've been talking about. I use the word Gestapo, and some people feel it's a little harsh. But I just don't believe it is.
How would you prove that it was harsh? It's the exact same thing.
You know, these guys are doing this today here in California, overtaxing us, overcharging knowingly. They didn't do it on accident. They did it on purpose. They did it on purpose, and they do this. And there's nothing, and the Attorney General does not hold them accountable. Either the U.S. Attorney General or California Attorney General does nothing, and they knew about it. So when you see these guys break the laws, but yet nothing happens, and then there's passing, dozens of new laws that affect us, and I guarantee you, if we cross that line, we have our day in court, and it's not usually a good outcome for us.
I've
got to take a really quick break here because we're almost at the top of the hour, and we have Gary, our hostage, on hold, who has a comment or a question for us when we come back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Somebody been shot, somebody's been abused, somebody blew up a building, somebody stole a car, somebody got away, somebody didn't get too far, yeah, they didn't get too far. Grandpappy told my pappy back in my day, son, a man had to answer for the wicked that he done. Take all the rope in Texas, find a tall oak tree, round up all of them bad boys, hang them high in the street for all the people to see. That justice is the one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line. When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon. We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
We'll have to play this every week. It'll be a song kids in, 50 years ago. What are they talking about? Give me back what? You're listening to We the People. You can join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Just in case you want to really be sad, you can go on there and look at the list of bills that are loitering in the California legislature. It's not good. Starts out with ammunition and ends up with, let's see, what's our final one? Oh, gun violence research.
Yes.
That is fantastic. We're going to do a little research about gun violence because we don't
understand.
We don't understand that if criminals shoot people, that it turns out bad, yeah. I guess.
Well, they're using the term gun in there, they're not going to look at violence in
California. Talking about criminal violence.
Right.
It's the guns that are doing it.
Guns are jumping up and doing
that's
this
exactly thing. Right. They go crazy. You just lay them on the table and they go nuts. So we have Gary on hold there, has a question or comment. Still in there, Gary?
Good afternoon. The obvious personal immediate solution to the gun situation is do not comply, which Patrick already mentioned, and other people are saying do not comply. And then the long range, the obvious solution is the state of Jefferson, which will indeed, the state will respect, and the Second Amendment will be held in high esteem, which of course it is not in tyrannical California. So do not comply. State of Jefferson, there's your solution. Will it be immediate? It'll take time, work, but it has to be done. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks,
no,
Gary.
He's correct. We're not going to win in Sacramento. We've been losing now for decades. These people, if you ever get a chance to go down there, and I used to go down there 2 to 3 times a year and sit in on Senate and Assembly Committee hearings, and it just made me nauseous, the amount of material they're covering, the kind of control that they're looking for, no respect for personal freedom and liberties, and it was all I could do.
Or property.
Or property. And, so we can't win with those guys. We have to separate, and Gary is absolutely right. I don't care where or how. Just cut me off from Sacramento. I'll be happy. These guys have done a tremendous job on the state of Jefferson. And it's the largest movement in California's history. Of course, you're not going to hear that out of a local paper. But everybody is got the same problem. We have no representation in Sacramento, and they're running amok. And the ammo bill, as we were talking about earlier, is a great example of this in that. Right now, I can buy as much ammo. The government doesn't know what I buy. They don't need to know what I buy. That's my business.
Absolutely.
And now they're going to get into my business of what I buy and then control me as to how much I can buy, and then I have to have a permit. I have to be approved to buy it. The state has to tell me.
So tell me, Patrick, the process for this ammo thing now is, okay, I want to go down. I want to go squirrel hunting. I get a phone call from my buddy. Hey, let's go shoot some squirrels. Hey, I need some bullets. Okay, the first thing I got to do is I got to go down and see Patrick. I got to get a background check. That's
correct.
$20-$25.
Correct.
Okay. Then he gives me
Now you may have to wait. That's we don't know all of the issues yet. We don't know all the terms yet. But you may have to get the certificate and you may have to wait 10 days before you get your background check complete, because in California, while every other state does instant checks for the firearms, it's 10 days. And I
sure.
suspect under the law that they will say, you have to wait 10 days.
Okay.
We will determine if you have an appropriate background, and then we'll issue you a certificate good for a length of time, and it has to be renewed every so often. So you're going to have to do it again because, in a month or two from now, you could have done something bad.
So you get the background check. Now I have to go get a permit to buy the ammo.
Once you have your background check, then your license, you should be able to buy ammunition. But the government will know the quantity.
Right.
And you're going to be subject to limitations of an unknown amount.
Right. So then I have my permit. I can buy my ammo. Now my family comes up and we want to go squirrel shooting. Can't go.
You better hope they came from out of state.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter because in California those guys can't touch the gun with the ammo because they have to, if they have
you
the ammo.
You could give them 49 rounds.
Oh, they can have 49 rounds.
49 rounds is what I understand.
Okay. Better improve your aim, huh?
All right. We're going to finish this up when we get back.
No, we're not. We're just going to go away mad.
Oh, I'm already mad.
Yeah. This is a show where you're going to go away mad. We're going to just spoiler alert you. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.